Say, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
Thank you that my ears work.
Thank you that my ears work.
My eyes see.
My eyes see.
My heart perceives.
My heart perceives.
I know what's coming.
I know what's coming.
A word from the Lord.
A word from the Lord.
Just for me.
Just for me.
Amen?
Amen.
The reason that I have you declare that is because once you speak, there's a creation that takes place. And when two are in agreement, what happens? Tell me what happens when there's two in agreement.
His power.
Not only that, the Lord shows up. Amen?
Yep.
Two gathered in his name, what happens?
There he is.
Aha. So he's here with us. And today I said to the Lord, what do you want? And he said, early this morning, he made it very clear. Christians have a habit of judging instead of respecting. They judge, they condemn, they find fault, they criticize, instead of respecting the other person's choice. Now, when you choose to respect someone's choice, you give them freedom. And that freedom is given to them by God. It's not given to you to condemn or find fault or reason out why they are the way they are or how they act or react. That's not your job. If I remember correctly, the Lord said, love one another as I
love you.
Yeah. It doesn't say anything about judge or condemn or find fault. I mean, if the person across the street from you decides that he or she is going to do something naughty and you're a part of it, then you have a right to say, hey, I don't want to join in. Right or wrong?
Mm-hmm.
But if they say, I insist on doing this, and you say, go do quickly what you've decided to do, but I'm not going to participate. Mm-hmm. Amen?
Amen?
And so you have a right to pull back, but you don't have a right to insult them or find fault with what they've chosen. And you know, I want to take you to Matthew chapter 18. Because sometimes there's another level. Children. And we had a couple of them that are really cool tonight. Doing their job. Spreading some love.
Mm-hmm.
Chapter 18, verse 10. See that you do not look down on one of these little ones. For I tell you that their angels in heaven always see the face of my Father in heaven. Now you say, well, some people saw angels tonight. Yeah. But now I'm telling you that there were more than two. There's some around those kids, but there's some around you. Verse 12, what do you think? If a man owns 100 sheep and one of them wanders away, will he not leave the 99 on the hill and go to look for the one that wandered off? And if he finds it, I tell you the truth, he is happier than that one sheep than about the 99 that did not wander off. In the same way, your Father in heaven is not willing that any of these little ones should be lost. So that shows you his heart. Correct? The next heading on the NIV is a brother who sins against you. How many have ever been injured or insulted by a believer? Thank you. If your brother sins against you, go and show him his fault just between the two of you. If he listens to you, you have won your brother over. But if he tells you to bug off, respect his decision. Now that's Kim's version, okay? Go show him his faults just between the two of you. Keep it simple. If he listens to you, you have won your brother over. But if he will not listen, take one or two others along so that every matter may be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. If he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. Why? You need to tattle? No. You need to say it to the church to pray for him. And if he refuses to listen even to the church, treat him as you would a pagan or a tax collector. In other words, walk away, respect his decision. I tell you the truth, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Now, you can take that word and you can carry it to extremes. But it really is saying that your word and your prayer is powerful. So be careful before you start binding and loosing. Because you might do it out of your soul because you see somebody misbehaving in the wrong direction. If they've chosen to live a life that is not what you would like or approve, release them to the Lord. Is God able to heal and set free someone? Yeah, he's more than able. And believe me, if you trust him, you won't get in trouble. Because I got into trouble trying to pick up or trying to make somebody act and react a certain way. And instead of them respecting me, it was just the opposite. Verse 19. Again, I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything you ask for, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. For where two or three come together in my name, there I am taking a nap.
In the midst.
I teased a friend of mine the other day and we were praying. And the prayer didn't seem to go too far. It was more or less hitting the ceiling and falling right back down. And I made a comment. I said, do you think maybe Jesus is sleeping in the back seat? And he's just napping, waiting for you and me to wake up and take authority over what's going on and break the cycles of fear that are trying to come in. And they agreed. So we started declaring that God did not give us a spirit of fear. He gave us power, love, and a sound mind. And activate on it. Move on it. Mm-hmm. Believe it. Yeah? Mm-hmm. Can you believe? Yes, you can believe. You can believe that you've received, or you can believe that you were praying and Jesus was sleeping in the back seat. It's up to you. Verse 21, kind of important. Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Up to seven times? ? Jesus answered, I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. The servant fell at his knees before him. "Be patient with me," he begged, "and I will pay back everything." The servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. But when the servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. He grabbed him and began to choke him. "Pay back what you owe me," he demanded. And his fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, "Be patient with me and I will pay you back." But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed and went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in. "You wicked servant," he said, "I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant, just as I had on you? In anger, his master turned him over to the jailer to be tortured until he should pay back all that he owed. Verse 35 should have a little circle around it. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you, unless you forgive your brothers from your heart. Why should you forgive someone that's guilty?
Because God said so.
Because he said so, yes. And from your heart, meaning don't hold grudges or conditions. Respect their decision to do and to abuse you. Because if that's happening, it's also testing to see how you're going to respond. How many of you have ever gone through a test and when you saw the cause of the test and then the fruits of the test, you realized you were being treated like Jesus? And you woke up. And you said, "Oh my God. Now there is no absolute reason for them to hate me so. It must be because they can see the Lord in me." And the first time that happened to me, I was kind of overwhelmed. I had been reading the scripture about when Jesus was being mocked and they were spitting at him. And believe it or not, I'm heading back, this is years ago, heading back to Grace Church. I had gone out for whatever, errands or whatever. And I'm in Chicopee on the back road heading towards the Elms College. There was a car stopped at a stop sign and I had a right of way. So I turned into that side street and the guy literally spit at my car and at me. And my first reaction was, yeah. So I did a little bit of what Deborah did, started to pray in the spirit, and I made sure that my window was all the way up. But I could see the spit going down. And I said, "Lord, what happened?" He said, "How do you like to be treated that way?" Well, obviously my anger was already there, so I couldn't deny that I was angry. You know, I'm not going to lie to him. I mean, he's right inside my heart. He can see. He said, "Will you release and forgive that man?" I didn't want to.
Amen.
I wanted to turn the hose on him. Okay? I did. I really did. I you know, it was like, oh, can I find a way to retaliate? Can I turn around and do a U-ey and go? No! He said, "Pray for him." And I'll be honest with you, their first thought in me was, why does he hate me so much? See, blaming ourselves or blaming the other guy, never recognizing that it was Christ in me, was not something he wanted to handle. I hadn't done anything. All I did was follow the
the road heading back to the office. But God taught me a lesson that day. Some people will hate you without a reason. Don't duplicate it. Just be obedient to do the best you can to forgive. So I did. I said, Lord Jesus, and I raised my hand in the direction that car was in. And I said, I send out waves of love and forgiveness to him. I don't feel like it, but I'm doing it anyway because your word says to do so. Why? Because the word is what's accountable, not your emotions. Not your emotions. God listens to his word coming out of your mouth. Now close your eyes. Lift up one hand to the Lord and say, from this day forward, with the help of God, and the grace of his Holy Spirit, I'll pray for those who can't stand my guts. Because just maybe, they see Jesus in me. And if they spit at him, they just could maybe spit at me. Give me grace, Lord, to see more than I've seen before. And get ready for Christmas. Amen.
Amen.
And amen. Blessings to all of you. And just remember one thing. Shoppers are sometimes losing their patience. That's probably why you're going to see some reactions. Amen.
Amen.
I did a few things today and I said, oh, Lord, please.
Yes.
It was already getting difficult. It really was. And I know that I have to go back on a couple more errands towards closer to the end of the week and closer to the end of the week and closer to the end of the week and closer to the end of the week.